I felt like before I leave planet Earth, I want to make sure that I share the fact that my corner of the world has lived through miracle after miracle. They're reproducible. They're formatable. There's a recipe. There's ways to actually make these things happen. And I think sharing that with a world that doesn't seem to have a clue about it is an important thing for me.
Mark Mancola, author of The Way of Miracles, talks about what it takes to achieve miracles, accessing your superconsciousness. In practice for 40-some years, 37 years, 40 years, I'll let him tell you about himself.
Yes, I mean, I've been working in the field of alternative medicine as a practitioner, what I refer to as applied nutrition therapy. So food is our medicine, supplements are our medicine, vitamins, herbs, minerals, homeopathic medicines, et cetera. And that's what we use. We don't use any other means, no pharmaceutical means, anything like that. We do it naturally, number one. Number two, I've been doing it for 37 years, and I've seen 60,000 appointments over 37 years. So we've been pretty busy at it. We're still doing it every day. And so every day we see turnaround. There's not a day that goes by we don't see a miracle turnaround, not a single day in the week.
If you ever needed a miracle, right now is a good time.
Yeah, everybody wants miracles, but not everybody is capable of accessing them. And I think that what the book is about and what the movie is about is teaching people that we've actually gone through thousands of experiences, many of which are truly miraculous. There's no explanation other than miracle. And they're truly amazing. But the point is, miracles are not as hard to access as most people would believe. So to me, there's ways that we can actually accomplish miracles. There's ways we can access the energy that produces them. And we can put our mind and our body and our spirit in the framework to get that done. So I've been doing that with patients, as I said, for a long time, had many experiences of truly miracle recoveries, and I wanted to share that with the world. I felt like before I leave planet Earth, I want to make sure that I share the fact that my corner of the world has lived through miracle after miracle. They're reproducible. They're formatable. There's a recipe. There's ways to actually make these things happen, and I think sharing that with a world that doesn't seem to have a clue about it is an important thing for me. So I contacted a movie producer, who's a very remarkable film producer down in New York City, Christina Bertillo-Bresson. And I met with her over the course of about 4 or 5 months. She followed my work. She got turned on the idea. She actually observed patients. She came in and sat in on sessions and observed many different recovery programs that I've been through. And she decided that it was a great idea to make a film about what I do from a miracle perspective. So we were going to actually outline and highlight amazing patient stories from patients that had miracle turnarounds, and just to highlight those in a film, as a documentary film, which is, of course, now we know called The Way of Miracles, just like the book. So the book and the film both, The Way of Miracles. The book is my seventh book. The film is a little different than the book. They're not identically the same. They vary slightly. But the key is that we're mapping out this film. Christine and I were mapping all this remarkable storytelling out. Couldn't wait to tell great stories, miracle stories about 6-7 patients that we chose from our patient files. And in the middle of designing and putting together this amazing film about patient miracle stories, I was bitten by a Lyme tick. And I wasn't just bitten by any Lyme tick. I mean, there's some ticks that have, like, they say the average Lyme tick has 19 different infectious agents in it. Some have as many as 92. I think I was bit by one that has, like, upwards of 90 infectious agents, because I got really, really sick. I was diagnosed with something called neuroborrelia, which is kind of like a neurological condition. It just, you can't move, you can't walk, you can't raise your arms above your head. Your neuromuscular system shuts down, and you become paralyzed. Some people remain paralyzed for life, some people die from it. It's a horrible condition, it's horrible. So I was bit by the Lyme tick, and I actually got a really bad case of neuroborrelia, and I couldn't walk. I was fumbling and falling all over the place. I couldn't maintain my balance. It's really very difficult. So one evening, when I was really at my worst, I went down to the bathroom to use the bathroom, brush my teeth, and wash up before I went to bed. And I fell in the bathroom floor, the hard tile floor. I was on the bathroom floor for 14 hours. I couldn't move. I was paralyzed, completely paralyzed. Couldn't move a finger, couldn't move a toe, couldn't move at all. I was paralyzed for 14 and a half hours on the bathroom floor. And I knocked over a bunch of cleaning agents, and I couldn't move to get out of the way. And I was breathing them in and drinking them in. It was just deplorable. It was just a horrible situation. And long story short, 14 and a half hours later, I was rescued off my bathroom floor. And for 2 weeks, I was completely paralyzed from the neck down. I couldn't move, couldn't walk, couldn't go to the bathroom, couldn't do anything. I was just completely shut down physiologically. And in the middle of that horrible experience, when I was on the floor for 14 and a half hours, I actually talked to myself. And I said, if I can never walk again, if I can never move again, if I can never move my body again, do I want to live? Do I want to live like that? Do I want to live without a body? Do I want to live with just a brain inside a skull without any ability to move my physiological self at all? And I decided that I didn't have an answer. About 25, 30 minutes into that question, I started screaming for help. I started screaming as loud as I could in my apartment building for help, hoping somebody would hear me. It wasn't until that point when I screamed for help that I knew I wanted to live. I didn't know the answer to my question until I started screaming for help. That's how I knew I wanted to live.
Yeah, yeah.
So from there on, I decided to change my mentality. No matter what I went through, I was determined to make this film and write this book. I was determined to actually make the world familiar with it. So if I had to do it from a wheelchair, I'd do it from a wheelchair. But I was determined to do it. I made my mind up to try to heal myself miraculously. In the final analysis, I did just that. I worked really hard with physical therapy, with diet, with supplementation, with natural medicines, herbs, homeopathic medicines, et cetera. I worked so, so hard. And now I'm basically back working again. I'm basically back functional again. And I'm able to do the movie promotion just like I'm doing with you right now.
Yeah.
But that was my unexpected miracle. But I mean, I was planning to take account of miracles of patients, not myself.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. How much of my miracle? That's my miracle story.
You're walking the same walk that you are talking about others. And that's what makes it, I think, more authentic.
Yes, there's no question about that.
What was the prognosis from the doctors who saw you at the beginning?
Well, there's great debate about it, of course. My family doctor, my PC, ran blood tests. I mean, we saw that the Lyme bacteria was super high. I had mycoplasma, it was elevated, and I had Epstein-Barr virus. I mean, my body was ravaged, and the levels were really high. So she diagnosed me with neuroborrelia from Lyme disease. Of course, the doctors in the hospital I went to, without a spinal tap, they refused to even talk about Lyme disease. So they diagnosed me with Parkinson's, because that was the most convenient thing to diagnose me with at that time. And again, they said, look, if we're going to diagnose you with Lyme disease, we have to do a spinal tap. But they're not going to do a spinal tap on me. How about if you just look at my blood work? No, we're not going to do that. So they're just determined to make the scenario fit their story, you know, to fit their narrative.
My mom was diagnosed and had Rocky Mountain spotted fever from a tick. And brain fog and all the stuff that goes along with this. This is a time that COVID was coming on. I don't believe they would have caught it. Fortunately, we weren't. It was a holiday weekend, and we had to wait. And knowing the pressure and the fright and the anxiety around everything else, when those symptoms she had were mimicking the initial stages of COVID, It was a challenge. And even then, it wasn't until 6 weeks later that she was actually fully diagnosed with Rocky Mountain spotted fever. So the tick diseases are really, really, they're fast acting, and they're difficult to, from experience, they're difficult to track down. So with you being even a physician, you know, having your history and your intelligence, you still had to go through the same routine that everybody else goes through. And sometimes a quick fix is what you're stuck with when you know there's more to it.
You're absolutely right about what you're saying. You're 100% correct. I mean, I think that one of the key messages you just elicited a minute ago, people don't really understand the power of these tick-borne conditions. They're potentially life-threatening. I have a 71-year-old friend, actually, who was bit about 2 weeks before I was. And he died. He died from the disease. He died from Lyme disease. He died from Lyme disease. So that happens, folks. Yeah. That's for real.
Yeah.
And like your mom said, like she got hit pretty hard, and I got hit pretty hard. And some people, it depends on what you get bit by. It depends on how sensitive and vulnerable you are. It depends on a lot of things. But I think that I got hit about as hard as you can get hit without dying from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really determined to rise up and to do well. I mean, I was put on antibiotics, I was put on all kinds of different medications and all kinds of different pharmaceutical stuff and natural medicines and all the above. And I was just doing everything.
Yeah. In the next break, what was the focus for your healing? Wendy's Coffee House KCMO Talk Radio.
In the bathroom floor, I mean, I lost my mobility. I was actually able to go outside my body, and I was able to tap into the importance of my healing. My story became more clarified in spirit. I was out of my body. And that's when I made my decision to live and how to live and how to change.
Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, my guest Mark Mancola, talking about miracles. There are stories in the book and the film, but the personal story is one that he never anticipated. Lyme disease was the issue.
The objective, more than anything for me, was to tap into an inner place within myself that was inclined to sell me out. By that I mean this. I wasn't the most important thing in my life. In fact, I was one of the last important things in my life. Everybody else and everything else was more important. And I didn't really have a connection to myself like I do now. And it was really important for me to awaken to the importance of knowing and translating and interpreting and engaging in the truth about self-love. And I wasn't there. I mean, I wasn't there at all. And I contend that there's two selves. We all have two selves. We have a soul self, which is easy to love because it's perfect. And it's eternal. It's limitless. We also have an ego self, a lower self. It just makes mistakes. It's living in error much of the time. It's a lesson learner. It's not easy to love and forgive that part of yourself. But I think it's really important to tap into the soul self. You can tap into your source, the real you. You know, kind of like one part of the book I talk about looking in the mirror. Go to the nearest mirror and look in the mirror. Look in the center of your eyes. Look in the absolute nucleic center of your eyes and tap into the essence of what you are. You can feel the energy. You can feel the soul. You can feel the essence of what you are. That's you. That's the eternal you. When you don't have a body anymore, you're still in the universe. You're still living. You're still functioning. You're still alive. You're still life. You're still part of the universe. So I think it was really important for me to tap into forgiving my vulnerable self, my ego self, my incomplete self, my mistake-making self, with my higher self, with my soul self. So it's an act of autonomy. It's, it requires transference from, I say, the saying I have is we're moving from self to soul. We tend to think of life on a cellular level. We tend to think of ourselves on a cellular level. We need to tap into the soul self to really be able to love the part of us that is at pure essence and pure beauty. And to love that part of ourselves is to actually engage in the miracle healing process from within. We quicken our inner self, quicken within the healing energies of our inner self. So I think it became really important for me to tap into, to move from cell to soul, to realize my life begins at a soul level, not a cell level, and to tap into the love in that respect and to really feel compassion and love for myself. Just made all the difference in the world.
Thewayofmiracles.com is the website. In the book, you talk about Paul Twitchell and the book Key to the Secret World. All right. And could you give some background? Because I also think that's a crucial part of this. That was, you had that basically on the back burner ready to tap into when this happened.
That's true. So Paul Twitchell was somebody that I first observed back in the 70s. And he was making the rounds of Dick Cavett, which was a talk show back at that time. A lot of different interviews and things like that. And I happen to catch a lot of Paul Twitchell. Paul Twitchell is the father, the founding father of ECK, E-C-K, Ekankar. Ekankar is a religion. And it actually is theoretically about soul travel. So what I mean by that is Ekankar is the religion where you can actually elevate out of your body. You know, your spirit comes out of your body and can actually travel. You can actually move around the planet, move around the world, move around the universe, if you will. So it's a religion, it's a science, if you will, soul travel. And I spent a lot of time working with that, studying that. And I was tapping into my soul self and literally traveling outside myself in spirit and conjuring up different lessons. Again, the objective is to do that so that you can actually learn, because in the higher realms, there's some magnificent learning processes that can be engaged. And that's exactly what I did. And I did that and started doing that in the 70s and 80s. that came in pretty handy at the time that I lost my physical form in the bathroom floor. I lost my mobility. I was actually able to go outside my body, and I was able to tap into the importance of my healing. My story became more clarified in spirit. I was out of my body. And that's when I made my decision to live and how to live and how to change. And I did that by traveling out of my body, which I did at that time, and I've been doing it ever since still.
Well, I think that addresses that super consciousness. Like you said, you were prepared to cover all sorts of other miracle stories, and yours was the very last one you anticipated. And yet here it is. It's crucial in terms of getting people to the table and saying, this is how it works, and you've been in the trenches doing it.
Absolutely true. In fact, I didn't anticipate myself being in this film. That was a surprise.
At least not to this point. Okay, believing is seeing. You have in, this is page 186, the five tenets.
Well, believing is seeing is actually a line that was popularized by Wayne Dyer years ago, the author Wayne Dyer, which is something I always loved. And I loved his work. I met him in 1992 at the Miami Book Convention, with my first of seven books that I wrote. And we traded books. We met. We spent the afternoon with each other. We muscle tested. We did a lot of fun things together. He gave me a signed copy of Books from Isis. One of the things I got from him was that very thing, that very concept, that idea that seeing, we're used to saying seeing is believing. I say believing is seeing. Believing is the objective of creating an awareness, a receptivity. And I think that it's about belief leading the way. I think belief leads the way for us. And we can't underestimate the power of creating manifestation from belief. So what that really says is that the more we believe, the more fervently we believe and have faith, the more we actually produce manifest results. That's where that comes from.
And that's focus.
But you're talking, yes, it's absolutely the most important part of the equation. Everybody wants to manifest. Everybody wants miracles. But nobody understands that it requires faith and belief to begin the process. But the five cardinal tenets are really important. I sat down and said, what are the most important ways to lead people into this concept of being able to access miracles, to be able to manifest miracles? That's the word, manifest miracles. Number one is to know the way, understand the knowledge of natural law, and harmoniously participate in the flow of life from birth through growth to death and rebirth. So there is a way of things. And there's a great philosophy called Taoism. And Taoism is not a religion, it's a philosophy. It's about a 5,000-year-old philosophy. And it just says that it believes in monism. There's yin and yang, which is dualistic, but then the liberation process and the process of exceptionalism and miracles and otherworldliness focuses on monism. The idea that the Tao or God the Father or your soul or the singularity is what actually makes everything happen. That says to know the way of things, to understand the knowledge of natural law, harmoniously participate in the flow of life from birth to growth, to death, and rebirth. Number two, to embrace the whole, to live in accordance with the whole, and to know that darkness exists in perfect mutual compatibility with the light. So there's this idea of mutual compatibility of opposition. There's no such thing as separation. That's an illusion. Everything is together. Everything is whole. Everything is part of a whole. You know, you look at the Tai Chi circle as a perfect metaphor for wholeness. You got a dark circle with a light background and a light circle with a dark background, representing this whole circle of wholeness that has the two extremes. If you take the darkness out of the circle, you don't have a wholeness anymore. You have a semicircle. So the objective is to appreciate and understand that there's a universal place, and there's a place in the universe for the darkness. And wholeness includes the darkness. It doesn't exclude it. Number three is to balance energy, to become a master of energy, to live in this rapport with the fluid interchange between energy and matter. So to understand that everything is energy and matter. But the objective is to understand that energy is the thing that puts us over the edge, provided we're in balance, provided our energy is within balance. Number four is to flow from source, to emanate from the core of our immortal soul. Again, to move from self to soul, is what I call that. To expand, to evolve, to understand life from a different perspective, not just from a material perspective. You can't produce miracles in the mundane state. If you're going to produce miracles, you have to be in a transcendent state. Number five is to expand the mind, to cultivate higher consciousness, to ultimately merge with the universal mind. Again, the universal mind is the collective consciousness that's in the universe. It is pure consciousness and it's mass. And our objective is to merge our consciousness and our micro universe with the macro universe, so to speak.
Thewayofmiracles.com is the website. Back in a few, Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House.
I believe that there's a spirit in the body that actually is prepared to elevate our game of life. It's prepared to elevate our energy, our commitment, our vision, our plan of living and manifestation and all that stuff. I think all that has to do with our spirit.
My guest, Mark Mancola, talking about miracles, accessing your super consciousness, how that happens, the foods, the diet, the mindset, all that stuff that goes on behind the scenes when people create miracles. There are some steps that help facilitate miracles. He shares that in the book, The Way of Miracles. The film is also available. Thewayofmiracles.com is the website.
I think that it's important, too, to realize that with miracles, there's four options. To reject, to accept, to expect, and to create. Those are the four aspects of miracles. So again, I'll say that again. The possibilities of miracles, miracle making, miracle manifest, is to reject the idea. Number one, reject. Number two, accept the possibility. And then number three, to expect the possibility. And number four, to create them, to make them happen. That's what it's all about.
When I'm reading the book, there's background stories that go along with this to support the things that you're talking about. And I wanted to go back into, you know, you chose miracles that other people had. And, you know, in doing that, was there one that stood out that you thought really exemplified? I mean, a miracle's a miracle, but is there one that you can share with all of your clients over the years that you were just astounded by?
I mean, there's many of them. And I think every one of them in the film and in the book is that. But I think that, I don't know why, there's one in particular that stays with me. And that's the, I think it was the third one in the film, the third miracle in the film, third or fourth, I don't remember. But there's a 37-year-old woman who actually had a brain tumor in a frontal lobe. The tumor is the size of a tennis ball. And she had gone to surgeon, she had to have it surgically removed. They cut open her skull and they pulled the tumor out, and 2 months later it grew back. So they said, we gotta do it again. She said, I can't go through that kind of surgery again. I can't, the ordeal of brain surgery is way too much. It'll kill me. I just can't handle it. The mere thought of it will kill me. So a friend referred her in to see me. And I muscle tested her. I energy tested her for food sensitivities, checked her for strengths and weaknesses and energy responses and all that stuff. And long and short of it is I found that she had a profound allergy to wheat. And so I actually found that the wheat has the ability, has the potential, the capacity to cause inflammation in her brain and actually produce this mass. So I got her off the wheat. Strictly 100%, I convinced her that was a pretty important issue. I put on some natural supplements. I put on an herb called pawpaw, an herb called a medicine called the logic acid, which are from little blackberries. The little seeds get stuck in your teeth when you eat blackberries and raspberries.
Yeah.
And those seeds are very powerful. They've been studied at the University of South Carolina Medical School, Dr. Daniel Nixon, for 7 years, and Dr. Gary Stoner from Ohio State University studying for 8 years. And they found that the logic acid has an amazing capacity to shut down cancer cells radically, in animal studies. So we used some really good supplements, put on a really good program, did the energy work, and 5 to 7 months later, she started the process of shrinking the tumor. And by the end, by month nine, she is tumor-free, completely clean. She's been clean for 10 years now.
That's extraordinary. Some of the videos you have, there's one that you do address food and inflammation, saying that's absolutely crucial to get ahead of that one, because there are a lot of things in our diet that create an imbalance, and inflammation can be deadly.
That's certainly true. I mean, there's three different categories that biochemistry distills down to. Category one is a neutral category. It's called prostaglandin 1. Category 2 is prostaglandin 2, and column 3 is prostaglandin 3. These three categories, everything in the realm of food and chemistry breaks down into one of these three categories. Number 1 is neutral, number 2 is inflammatory, number 3 is anti-inflammatory. So it depends on what column you're filtering into. And many of them have foods that actually filter into those columns. So the first column is neutral foods, things like poultry, things like beans, things like vegetables. They filter into the neutral column, and they produce a fatty acid called linoleic acid. The linoleic acid is a neutral. It doesn't have the ability to anti-inflame. It doesn't have the ability to inflame. It's just neutral. Column 2, foods like red meat, dairy products, even yogurt, sugar products, fermented foods like vinegar, miso, tempeh, tamari, soy sauce, beer, wine, champagne, all those fermented foods, egg yolks, not the whites, the yolks, they all produce an inflammatory fat called arachidonic acid. The arachidonic acid is inflammatory, and that produces inflammatory prostaglandin 2s. Column 3 is all anti-inflammatory. Fatty fish, flax, organic produce, these are producing anti-inflammatory chemistries. So here's the deal. Your neutral column, your first category of neutrals can actually be converted into an anti-inflammatory set of chemistries with the help of evening primrose oil, borage oil, or black currant seed oil. So you can take an oil supplement with the evening primrose oil, 500 milligrams of evening primrose oil a day. And that one capsule of evening primrose oil will transfer all your neutral foods into anti-inflammatory. It's pretty powerful. You're converting column 1. Column 2s are inflammatory. Stop eating. So we're going to discontinue consuming column 2 altogether. Column 3, we enhance, we increase, and we add fish oil capsules to boot it up a little bit more, some flax oil capsules. So you're converting column 1, you're discontinuing column 2, and you're beefing up column 3. And that just produces such a strong chemistry shift in your body. And there's 150 autoimmune diseases. Things like cancer, heart disease, all these diseases are triggered by inflammation. 72% of them are triggered by inflammation. So if you take care of inflammation, you take care of a lot.
It's really about the first thing you do is your mindset, which is what you had to do when you said, I want to live, and started screaming for help. It wasn't there immediately when you felt it was like, well, okay, is this worth it? And at some point, something in you said that that was going to be a non-issue. And I think that's that is the key to your healing.
No question about it. It is your spirit. I believe that was my spirit. And I believe that there's a spirit in the body that actually is prepared to elevate our game of life. It's prepared to elevate our energy, our commitment, our vision, our plan of living and manifestation and all that stuff. I think all that has to do with our spirit. If the spirit is ebullient, if the spirit is really elevated and it's excitable, and if you really let that spirit lead you and lift you, uplift you, it'll do just that. No question about it. Spirit is powerful, no question. I think to celebrate our spirit on a routine basis, to appreciate the beauty of our spirits, is part of our self-love. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, the love of self is such an important thing. The love of spirit is just so easy to get involved with. You can really get excited about loving your spirit if you work at it. It's pretty special stuff.
Electromagnetic muscle testing. Is that standard when you do a diagnosis or you do an assessment of a client to see how their energy is already, what set point their energy is?
We do every single person that we work with. I mean, all my interns, all my associates, we test everybody. We check their visceral spheres, their liver, kidney, gallbladder, spleen, heart, lungs, blah, blah, blah. Do all their organs, glands, and organs. We also do their foods. We check their foods from A to Z. We do all the organ systems. We do all the food systems, and we actually distill it down. Because here's the thing. We live in an era where nutrition is very generic. It's one size fits all. You know, blueberries are good for everybody. And that's just not the way life is. So we feel we have to take the time to develop a system that is articulate and sensitively and attuned at the energetic level. Each separate person, and to find out what each person's energetic field says about blueberries or green beans or spinach or whatever the case may be. So we want to check everything. We always check everything off the organ system. Whatever your weakest organ system is, your kidneys, your liver, your weakest organ system, we test your foods off those weakest areas. Because we believe in the concept energetically that whatever comes into your body, whatever's invited into your body to strengthen you, to support you, to make you healthy and nutritionally well, you should be able to get by the weakest part of your body, the most challenged part of your body should say yes to it, or you should need it.
Beliefs create reality. Back with my guest, Mark Mancola, and The Way of Miracles, Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio.
They wash their robes in ice cold water. And you know how they dry the robes? They put the robes on and they go into this meditation and they elevate their body temperature. And they actually, through meditation, dry the robes. And Herbert Benson went up with a camera crew from Harvard and they filmed the whole exercise.
The Way of Miracles, Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, my guest, Mark Mancola. And this is not a short-term fix. This is a long-term change.
When you have a chronic issue and it's been with you your entire life, is there another way you approach that from this super consciousness to go in and say, what is the purpose of this dis-ease? Do you do that?
As you know, I mean, this from the story I told from the book and the film. But incidentally, if people want to see the film, they can go to thewayofmiracles.com. Thewayofmiracles.com will get you into the film. As you know, I mean, I've had a number of different scenarios where I had no business thinking it was possible to turn them around. No business whatsoever. But we found that it did work, you know. So I'm hard to convince otherwise. I've become really difficult to convince. I believe everything's possible, almost everything's possible. But if something is impossible, if we just have limitations, just can't get it done. If we can't get it done, then I approach it from a different perspective, but equally positive. I'm just take what we have left, like what I was about to do. When I was down on that bathroom floor, not knowing if I was ever going to walk again, I made my mind up to do touring in a wheelchair if I had to promote the book and the film. So I say, you take what you got. If it's a fait accompli, you take what you have and you give it your all.
When you talk about the food and the types of food people eat, now sometimes, you know, these stories out here where there was a little old lady and all she ate every day, she had bacon for breakfast and she's 101. Or I smoked a cigar every day and I'm 104. How do you explain that? What is it that goes into the mind that allows those people to be the exception?
First of all, if she made it to 104, she might have made it to 112.
Okay, there's the positive.
Number two, I feel that the spirit, as I kept saying, as I said a minute ago, the spirit is a huge component of this process. The spirit got me up off the bathroom floor and got me back into life again. That was my spirit. So the intangible, and I think a lot of these people have intangibly elevated spirits. You know, a lot of them we consider characters. 104-year-old lady that drinks whiskey, the guys smoke Cuban cigars, whatever. I think these people have this indelible spirit, this ability to just rise up and this ability to kind of just believe that they're going to live for a long time and believe that they're well and believe in their mind and in their deepest part of their spirit that they're going to rise above whatever the limitations are. So I think there's the intangible factor.
In the film, you also have Bruce Lipton and you have Deepak Chopra. Those are, they're in the other people as well. But you tried to coordinate this so that people who have these, I think, you know, progressive and innovative and empowering belief systems to give people tools to practice this super consciousness, trying to get into that mindset and giving people ways to see around current hurdles that we have that says this isn't possible.
No question about it. I think that, I mean, Deepak and Bruce and so many other people as well. Menos Kapatos was in it. Yeah, Chamonix was in it. I think there's some brilliant people in it. And again, their ability to communicate in a very special way supported the film in a lot of respects. I think that they're able to bring the genetics into genetic science into it. I mean, Bruce Lipton was voted the world's number one scientist 4 years in a row. He's brilliant when it comes to stuff like genes and genetics. You know, he talked about the genome response. And he talked at one point about how we tend to think, and we've thought for years, that your genes are 95% determinant as to your well-being or your lack thereof, your health.
Yeah.
He says no. He says that the idea now is to look at epigenetics. Epigenetics means above genes. So they reversed that equation. So your genetic predisposition represents 5% of your determinism. 5%. 95% is up to your mind, your manifest, your intelligence, your spirit, your soul, your inner being, your nutrition, your chemistry. 95% is up to you. 5% is pre-configured. And Deepak puts everything in a very spiritual light, which is kind of special too. I think I enjoyed that a lot in the film. I think he, in his own very unique way, has brought in the spiritual override to things, which colors it so nicely. He does a fabulous job. He did a great job.
You have a lot of wonderful contributors here to give people different ways of assimilating the information and working their own health regime.
Exactly true. 100% right.
What I like in the book, if you wouldn't mind, the story, 1982, the studies that examine the effects of superconsciousness with the monks.
Yes. There's one great story that I talked about in there about the monks. I don't know if you saw the story. There's a story in there about Dr. Herbert Benson, who brought a crew, camera crew from Harvard, the Himalayas. And there's a ritual, I guess you could say the ritual, that these monks performed routinely every week. It's called Jitumo Yoga. Jitumo Yoga is an exercise where the monks are like 4,000 feet up in the Himalayas. And it's cold and it's damp. And they have heavy robes, heavy flannel robes. They wash their robes in ice cold water. And you know how they dry the robes? They put the robes on and they go into this meditation and they elevate their body temperature. And they actually, through meditation, dry the robes. And Herbert Benson went up with a camera crew from Harvard. And they filmed the whole exercise. And he said that the lenses and the cameras all fogged up. And he said they fogged up 10 minutes into the meditation. They fogged up. They had to wipe the lenses clear continuously. And in 20 minutes, the robes were warm and dry as a bone. The Tibetan monks, the Far East, the Buddhists, the Taoists, the Hindus, they just had so many incredible experiences over the last 5,000 years that have so much to teach the world about who we really are and how we can really maximize our potential to make miracles. They really carved out some beautiful stories for us and some beautiful practices and disciplines for us if we're willing to listen.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, it comes back to focus and focusing on the possible rather than all the things that keep us distracted and limited in our current framework. Earlier, you gave the little four words that allow a freedom to explore and to evolve.
Reject, accept, expect, create.
Miracles are possible.
Yes, indeed.
Dr. Mercola, Mark Mercola, and the film or the book available website, thewayofmiracles.com. I know that was the last thing you expected was to be front and center on this, but I tell you what, if anybody could do it after 40 years of practice with other people and working their miracles, you should have had a few cliff notes to get you through it. What do you think?
I think you're right about that.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Is there anything you want to add?
No, I just want to just remind everybody out there to really take the facts seriously, the consideration seriously. That they are much greater than they are aware of. There's much more to them than they've been led to believe. Everybody's a miracle maker because everybody's a miracle. And I think you just need to think in those terms and you need to work in those terms. We've seen it every day of our lives for 37 years that there's more to you than you're aware of. Reach higher and fly.
Mark Mercola, The Way of Miracles. The film is also available. Thewayofmiracles.com is the website. You've got the recipe now. You can create your own miracles. Thanks for listening.